Detective Renee Ballard's peaceful pre-dawn surf session, her sanctuary from the grinding demands of police work, shatters when she returns to find her vehicle burglarized. Not just any theft. Her badge, service weapon, phone, and wallet are gone. This isn't random. It's targeted and strategic, executed by thieves who watched her from the elevated parking area while she surfed below at Staircases Beach, a location with multiple escape routes and limited security cameras. A detective without her badge faces a crisis of both identity and function. Ballard must now sneak into her own workplace through back entrances, crafting excuses and maintaining a facade of normalcy to hide her compromised status. Each interaction threatens exposure. Rather than reporting the theft and facing suspension, she investigates independently, discovering similar burglaries targeting surfers at beaches with parking lots hidden from the water. The pattern reveals a sophisticated operation specifically targeting law enforcement credentials, suggesting something far more sinister than simple theft. The stolen badge creates a ticking clock that runs beneath the entire narrative. How long can Ballard function without her credentials, and what happens if her badge is used in a serious crime? Each passing day increases both her professional risk and the potential for her stolen identity to enable violence. The Open Unsolved Unit operates from the Amison Center, clearing about 3 cold cases monthly from 6,000 unsolved homicides despite limited resources. This specialized team includes diverse volunteers: Tom Laffant, retired FBI, Lilia Agzafi, former Vegas detective, Paul Masser, ex-prosecutor, Colleen Hatteras, genealogy expert with no police background, and Anders Persson, their newest member with Swedish police experience and software expertise. Each member contributes complementary skills to their collective approach. Colleen stands out, brilliant at genetic genealogy, but nosy about colleagues' personal lives. Her lack of formal police training offers fresh perspectives despite occasional boundary issues. Their workspace functions as a sanctuary where justice for forgotten victims remains the singular focus. Their rule against removing case materials creates a sacred space where cold cases find new life through modern techniques and persistent investigation, a dedication that leads to both breakthrough and tragedy. Everything changes when DNA technician Darcy Troy reports a familial match through a domestic violence arrest linked to the pillowcase rapist, a predator who terrorized Los Angeles for 5 years, assaulting dozens of women before murdering Abby Sinclair in 2005. The match suggests Nicholas Purcell is likely the rapist's son. For Ballard, this case is personal. She was first on scene at Sinclair's murder as a patrol officer. This breakthrough shows how genetic technology is revolutionizing cold cases. Familial DNA searching, which identifies relatives rather than perpetrators directly, has become a powerful tool despite privacy concerns. The investigation leads to Judge Jonathan Purcell, Nicholas's father and an influential figure in the Los Angeles legal system. Investigating a sitting judge creates immediate tension with complex power dynamics and potential political fallout. When DNA results show no match between Nicholas and Judge Purcell, they discover Nicholas was adopted from teenager Mallory Richardson, who committed suicide without revealing the father's identity. Beneath her professional facade, Ballard carries profound trauma. Her mother, Makani, remains missing after the Maui wildfires 6 months earlier. In therapy, Ballard struggles with this loss, complicated by her mother's abandonment when she was 14. Raised by her grandmother, Tutu, who became her moral compass, Ballard developed psychological wounds that manifest in relationship difficulties, work obsession, and a constant need to prove herself. With her mother potentially dead in the disaster, Ballard feels robbed of closure, the chance to ask why she was abandoned. The ocean serves as her sanctuary, with surfing providing both physical release and mental clarity, connecting her to her Hawaiian heritage and childhood memories. This psychological dimension shapes Ballard's approach to cases. Her experience of abandonment fuels her determination to provide answers for victims' families, the very closure she's been denied. This motivation drives her to bend rules and take risks, creating both her strength as an investigator and her vulnerability. Ballard traces her stolen badge to Dean Delcy, who sold items through the Lion at the El Dorado Hotel. She recovers her wallet and ID card, but learns her badge was purchased by Thomas Dayhaven, a fugitive wanted for murder and involvement in the January 6 Capitol attack. Dayhaven belongs to a sovereign citizen group planning a President's Day mass shooting at Malibu Pier that would make Vegas look like child's play. Her badge could enable police impersonation during this attack. To recover her badge discreetly, Ballard enlists Harry Bosch to help set up a sting operation. Their mentor-protege relationship proves valuable, as Bosch contributes his street smarts and connections despite being retired. Their plan? Bosch will pose as a weapons dealer to lure Dayhaven into a trap where the FBI can arrest him and recover the badge, a high-risk operation where professional boundaries blur to prevent catastrophe. Maddie Bosch, Harry's daughter, volunteers with the Open Unsolved Unit and makes a remarkable discovery, potentially solving the infamous 1947 Black Dahlia murder. In photographer Emmett Thayer's storage unit, they find equipment and files containing disturbing images documenting Elizabeth Short's torture and murder, along with seven other women. This represents the holy grail of cold cases. The Black Dahlia murder has captivated the public for over seven decades. The investigation leads to Thayer's former home, where they uncover a hidden basement with a drain matching crime scene photos. Luminol reveals consistent blood patterns. Despite compelling evidence, including ear pattern identification showing 90%+ probability match between Short and the woman in Thayer's photos, the district attorney refuses to officially close the case. This outcome highlights political realities affecting justice in high-profile cases, where officials fear reputation-damaging mistakes. Sometimes public opinion must serve when legal systems fail. The pillowcase rapist investigation leads to Andrew Bennett, a Laguna Beach real estate agent who attended high school with Mallory Richardson. When genealogist Colleen Hatteras contacts Bennett directly, a fatal mistake, he murders her in her home, shooting her after restraining her with a computer cord. Colleen's murder transforms the case from professional to personal for Ballard's team, highlighting the dangers civilian volunteers face and creating both grief and guilt as Ballard questions whether she adequately protected her team member. The climax unfolds at an upscale open house where Bennett works. Having tracked him for weeks, Ballard reveals she had already emptied his gun before arresting him, subduing Bennett using his own plastic ties, mirroring how he restrained victims. At the press conference, Ballard accepts responsibility for not better protecting her team, marking her evolution from lone wolf to accountable leader. The epilogue takes us to Maui, where Ballard pursues leads about her still-living mother. As she drives toward this confrontation, she passes the weathered stables from her childhood, suggesting she may finally address her lifelong abandonment issues.